Welcome to Office Hours. We're going to go ahead and get started. If anyone has any questions, please drop them in the Primetime Questions thread, which is a couple of channels above this one in the Office Hours text chat. I'll get to them in the order that they appear. I don't see any questions that are currently there, so for now, we're going to just sit in unimaginable, unending silence. Okay, we have a question. So I don't usually answer personal questions, but seeing as there is no other questions currently, we'll go for that one. So this question is, how are you doing from Modern? I'm good. It's heating up here again for some reason in my apartment, so I gotta go ahead and turn on the AC, but I'll do that just after this. I don't know if you can hear it, but we'll see. I gotta open the window as well, so like I gotta stand up and do stuff to like make it work. So I'll wait till this is over. Then I got lots of work to do today, so fun. It's going to be like midnight before I know it, and I won't know what I've done. Lakeside Miners asks, how did you first become involved in EOS? That is a very good question for Office Hours. Thank you for asking. That's an interesting question. So I was over on VRChat, and a good friend of mine was basically just like fed up with some of the VRChat cultural stuff right now. For anyone who is wondering what they mean by that, I don't remember. But if you're fed up with some of the cultural issues that plague VRChat, and in some cases Neos, you probably are in the right ballpark. I just don't remember what that friend actually said. Anyway, so they were looking at alternative VR platforms, and they're like, hey, here's a list. And they pasted me just like a list of Steam links. And I saw Neos there, and I went in just for a day. I was like scoping it out for said friend. And that's when I first played Neos. I think the first world I went into was the, back when Business Lawyer had their avatar tools as an actual world. I was in there and Nex came in and, like, gave me a bunch of random gadgets that were, like, super cool. So then I just kept going back and playing around with stuff. The actual friend I mentioned has never actually played Neos. They're quite, stubborn, if that makes sense, about how their time is used. So they want to keep to VRChat basically. But anyway, that's how I first got there. Jumping forwards to the next question, Draconis asks, do you have a tutorial for headless setups? If not, some examples of a live config. I do not have a tutorial for headless setups. There is an example for a config, which you can find on the Neos wiki. I will go ahead and get you a link, but you probably have seen it. Even if you haven't, I'll paste it for those who haven't. For some reason, the search results of the Neos Wiki are defaulting to providing the Japanese language things, but luckily using the toolbar, I can swap over to the English one using the toolbar at the top, so it's okay. Yeah, so that's page talks about there, and then at the bottom there is example files, and there is only one, but like I was hoping people would contribute other examples there. So you can see that on that page is example configurations. The only thing that you would need to do is, I guess, change the login credentials from null and null to like a valid credentials, and they'll work. Like, build on your knowledge as well. Something I see people do a lot is they want to start up a headless and they want to do like a complicated setup with like, you know, multiple worlds, multiple sessions, and you know, they basically want to make like a Las Vegas hotel where there's like a convention center, there's rooms, there's like a bar, there's a pool, all of the same headless. And I'm just like, all right, how about a default empty world working on your headless first and then build upon that? Because that's what everyone on every one of the big server hosts have done. Like they've just figured out as they've gone along. Stills asks, would there be a good reason to raise lower the tick rate? None that I can think of. You can mess around with it to see what's available. Like, for example, in more precise worlds where you need the flexibility, and when I say you need the flexibility, you often don't, but there have been some sort of science applications where we wanted to raise the tick rate to get more data out or something. I really wouldn't touch it unless you really, really need to. Link asks, do I want more headless configs contributed? Absolutely. That's why that whole wiki page exists. Yeah, just shove them on the wiki. Lakeside says, do you think adding a section for other header servers that people have made, e.g. Remoras, is good? Actually, there's a section for that on the main headless client page. On the main headless thing, we've got, I might want to reformat it later, but we've got Docker, which includes Shadow's Panther's Dockerfile, Rusio's Dockerfile, Hazra's Dockerfile, which I don't know who Hazra is. I hope your Dockerfile is cool. And then we all even have the Pterodactyl PR, which is still not merged for some reason. Anyway. so yeah, just add it to the main doobly-doo. I thought it was on there. I seem to remember seeing it. But anyway, you can take a look there. Exo asks about text channels, Neos related servers. Yeah, Discord's having some sort of statusy problem. Nothing to do with me, so I don't know. Check Discord status as Draconis links. Player Cody asks, speaking of wiki, is there a specific area that goes into detail on how to cross reference if a world being built would fall under potato mode? No. But you can view a potato mode switch. Hopefully we start naming it like low graphics mode or something rather than potato mode, because that doesn't translate well to other languages and some people might not understand what that means. When making settings in your world, make sure you're thinking about globalization as well. Is if there's something that you can turn off, turn it off. So reflection probes of any kind, turn them off. Lights, sounds in some cases. I know some people have also gone, whoa, what the hell just happened? Sorry. I'll explain that in just a moment, unless I finish answering the question. In some cases you want to do, I've seen people do like whole level of detail work on their entire world. Like there's been like less models and stuff. Yeah, you'd also set the culling to like a small radius. As for what just happened, if you've got a cold can of drink, which I do, and you put it on the table, sometimes a pocket of pressure occurs in the dip of the can, which then will eventually cause the can to just move in some cases, and it looks like it's haunted, but it's just like a sort of pressure thing to do with the cold underneath there. Yeah, it slides away. It's kind of creepy. Although I do have this like interesting problem. I can't figure out if it's me, like I'm dying, or like maybe my glassware is dying. But like I put my glass on a flat surface and it looks wonky. And I'm just like, I don't know. Maybe my desk just isn't level. I'll get my what do they call them? I want to say level meter, but I think that's right. There's a word for them. Leveler. There we go. I'll get my leveler out, see if there's a problem. This is a sit-stand desk, so the actuators could be out of sync. Yeah, it's a really nice desk. I've had it for a long time though, so a lot of the cable tidying for the internal cables of the sit stand functionality, the glue has failed on the like zip tie sticky things. It's like a sticky thing you stick to the underside of the table and then the zip tie that's attached to that sticky thing. So there's a lot of cables hanging down right now. I just need to summon the energy to be under the desk for a bit. Sometimes I feel like a car mechanic, you know, and then those like scoops with wheels. You just like slide under there, like do a bunch of like cable managing, and then it fails. So Alex asks, will Colin be an official feature locally one day? I don't know what you mean by locally, but yes, it'll be an official feature one day. We of course want to enable people to make their own always. We usually try and make features that allow people to customize them in any way that they like, but maybe we'll make the feature in such a way where you can sort of tie into it in a good way. Dio asks, how would you go about adjusting the UX of finding information, such as stuff on the wiki tutorials, etc.? The current approach requires non-trivial amount of context switching and manual searching. If you look at the Wikipedia home, or the homepage for any video game Wikipedia, not Wikipedia, wiki. I hate it when people call non-Wikipedias Wikipedias, and I just did it. I hate it. I'm sorry. They go like to a good example is the Minecraft wiki. Like Minepedia, I think it was, at least it was called back then. Maybe it's changed. I don't know. Microsoft are doing weird stuff in Minecraft. People would call like Minepedia or whatever it's called. They would call it the Minecraft Wikipedia, and I'm like, no, it's the Minecraft Wiki. Anyway, if you go to the homepage of any big games, you'll see a layout which is usually more boxy, right? There's boxes, and it more encourages you and steers you to the correct place. And they make hub pages, landing pages. They just have a lot more pages. Sometimes they only link to other pages, and I want to do that with a wiki at some point. Like our main page just got chaotic. Like I've still got to fix the whole problem with sometimes people made pages on the wiki. And they didn't really understand the point of a wiki, and so they made pages that had titles that were sentences. You should never have a wiki page that has a sentence title unless it's really complicated. Like for example, there is a Wikipedia page for paramedicine in the United Kingdom. I know because I edited it because it had a weird spelling of United Kingdom. That is a sentence, yes. But what I mean by that is you shouldn't have a wiki page which is titled something like "One day I went to the park," right? That should never be a wiki page title. Or in the case of the Neos Wiki, we have a couple of pages called like "What is logics?" Instead, we should have a page called "Logics," which answers that question, and then it's really easy to link to that logic page. If you want examples of that, take a look at the Terraria Wiki, Minecraft Wiki, whatever state it's in, I'm sure it will be fine. RuneScape Wiki is a good example. Path of Exile Wiki is a good example. Just sort of all those games that have got a lot of items that you need to like craft, wear, look at, examine, etc. They've got a lot of work has been done to make those work, which has not been done to us for somewhat obvious reason. Climber asks, can the standard pop-up messages, the ones that you show when someone comes online, be customized? No, but maybe in the future. I get that they're like a bit basic right now.
They're sort of unfinished.
Ozzy asks, what are some bad practices you see of UIX setups that people should avoid? Avoid... I always try and make like relative positioned UI, stuff that scales nicely, etc. For those who don't really know what that means, if you look at the flexible height and flexible width of the various layout components, those will enable it to scale to whatever size it is. What I see a lot is people will absolutely size everything. They'll be like, I want this particular part of my UI, let's say it's a rectangle. I want this rectangle to be exactly 500 pixels by 500 pixels. And they get angry when it isn't. And then like I scale up the canvas and I go like, well, now your UI looks silly. Whereas if you did it with like a relative positioning using the layouts, it would scale up fine. So that's good. So investigate doing that. Like, and don't obsess over the pixel sizing of stuff. The thing that you've got to remember about UIX is that like the pixel size can change because you can make like a really tiny panel, like a PDA style panel. You can make it the size of a billboard if you wanted to, and your UI could deal with accommodating that. Another bad practice I see is misuse of the button component. Button component has a lot of flexibility to handle things like highlight colors, disabled colors, etc. And I see a lot of people implementing that manually, and I just scream. I'm like, you can just handle that. Like, it's built in. So do keep an eye on that one. And then also name your slots, right? I see so many like panel child, 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 panel child, child. Like, just name them. It makes it so much easier to navigate. And don't name them horizontal layout. What is it? It's the menu container. There you go. Much better. I can actually navigate through it now, right? Just think about yourself a year or so from now looking at your old UIX. If you don't understand how to go through it, then it's bad UIX. Shadow asks, in addition to that, so the UIX stuff that was being asked about, should I scale down the slot the canvas is on, or should I increase the unit scale and define the canvas size in units instead of pixels? It's up to you which you do. For those confused in the audience, when you look at a UIX panel, it's usually the case that it is scaled all the way down. You'll see something like 0.0. I always forget how many zeros it is. To be honest, I just have a template in my inventory. I just whip out that's like a blank canvas because I always screw it up. That is, and people like often question why is that the case, and it's because like let's imagine like a 1920 by 1080 screen, like the screen that you have in your computer right now that you're watching this or listening to, whatever the hell you want to say, to this office hours, right? That is not 1920 times 1080 meters because that's Neos's unit system. It's a translation based on that, which is why the scale happens that goes down. Fruks at one point did add the unit scale property, which enables you to avoid that because it allows you to scale down the units that are used within UIX. Euclop says that there are items that ignore that. Make sure there are bug reports for all of those, and we'll try and get those sorted. I see no additional questions, so we're going to sit here in silence for a little bit. Think about your day. Think about cheese. We have the weather question. I hate weather questions. It's really warm here right now, so I have my shades drawn, and will generically have my shades drawn 24/7. Before someone like accuses me of like a hermit with my shades drawn, like literally the government tells you to do this during warm periods. They're like, during summer months, keep your shades and curtains and stuff drawn because heat won't get in. And I'm just like, cool, thank you, government, for allowing me to keep my curtains closed. In winter months, they recommend opening them because it lets sun heat your rooms from the sky. But I, you know, I don't usually do that either. There's also an issue that my new place has a crank open diagonal window, and those don't work with AC units that well. I have an ingenious solution to that that involves a lot of duct tape. I gotta link like actual like paperwork from the government where they're like, yo, keep your curtains closed during the day in summer months. And I'm just like, got it, bro. Absolutely done. I have this weird problem as well, which is like, if I go outside in a summer month and I come back in, my apartment will be noticeably warmer. I don't really understand how that works, but it's almost like being exposed to outside air makes me more aware of what temperature things are. Whereas if I stay inside, it will always be cooler. Now, it's still warm here, but let's say I went for a walk to get groceries and came back, it would be warmer in here, even if the temperature hadn't actually changed. It's like a perception issue. Going down to the next question we have, which is Link is saying, how did you come up with the name Probable Prime? Does it reflect your interest or approach to programming in some way, or do you just like maths? I'm going to give you the honest answer. You know when you make an Xbox account and it gives you a random name? This was it. It almost was the previous randomized generation, which was Fantastic Shelf. So you could be speaking to Fantastic Shelf right now. I still think Fantastic Shelf is a great username. Hello, I am Fantastic Shelf. Come at you with another tutorial. Moving onwards, Draconis asks, have any interesting videos been worked on right now? Yeah, so on the 20th of, what's today? 20th of July, I'm presenting a 10-minute talk. Previously it was a 3-minute talk that follows on from the previous 3-minute talk about the virtual surgery things. I haven't prepared at all. It's going to be the preparation for the rest of this week. I actually got to check the calendar and make sure I've got... Yeah, I've got to start preparing for that later part of this week. Because it's got to be 10 minutes. So I don't really know how to expand it to 10 minutes, but whatever, we'll see. That'll be then, once that occurs, I'll put it up on YouTube and you'll see a cool video that's 10 minutes long, rather than being 3 minutes long. I know that doesn't sound interesting, but there we go. It won't be a tutorial, it's like a professional talk. I gotta keep it professional. I have to rehearse it. The previous 3-minute one I had rehearsed so many times, I wasn't even paying, like, it was just like the whole world tuned out and I was just like mumbling. This will be the last one I do because, I don't know, beyond that, they'll be like, could you give an hour-long talk on this? It's like, no, I don't think I could talk for an hour about anything coherently. I would, be like, 20 minutes in, we start talking about cheese. And, 25 minutes in, we're talking about RuneScape. It's just, it just wouldn't work. I could talk about 1 hour about, random RuneScape stuff. Okay, let me make sure I haven't missed any questions. What's the max amount of people you've seen join an office hour session? Asked Terra. Back during the crypto craze, there were 100 people in here. None of them understood how it worked, and a lot of them were just hearing noise and had no idea how to turn it off. Which reminds me, you know when you have a Chrome tab or whatever browser you use tab, and it suddenly just starts making noise, but you have 200 open, and you're just where is the noise coming from? Where is the noise? It is too loud. It's usually a YouTube video that happens, or sometimes a streamer goes live on Twitch and you've got their tab open for some reason. Or I've seen it a lot with Steam pages, because now Steam has broadcasts that go live. So I'm looking for the Steam summer sale and then suddenly my ears get blasted by the trailer for the game. It's crazy. Stores asks, what's my total RuneScape level? I don't know. I don't have RuneScape open right now. I'd have to go look. Cat Planner says, if you have 200, you need help. Sometimes I have 400. Right now I have 20, which is good. Yuki says, missed. Oh, I did miss that. That wasn't a question, but I didn't. So I'll take a look. It's not a question, though. So Dio says, the way that I would approach UX for finding information that is already wiki-able would be to add a button to the abstract logic class interface that open a panel has the relevant information plus an example that requires a harder concept exposure. Yeah, we want to do in-game documentation at some point. I don't know what form that'll take, but we want to do it. Zinka says that they've got 70 tabs open for all of the C# documentation. I understand how that can go. Sometimes there's stuff in C sharp. Well, actually, more specifically, there's stuff in .NET. Like, because people often mistake that between the two. C sharp is a language, and then .NET is a set of libraries that are built on top of that language. And .NET is where it gets complicated. C sharp by itself is fine. I know all of that. But, like, it's .NET, and, like, you'll see, like, blah, blah, blah class. And you're like, that sounds like something that I might should be using right now. So I'll go and see if there's any documentation on it. And like the class-based documentation on it, so sort of like, you know, the UML stuff, like has no documentation. But in the bowels of Microsoft.com somewhere, there's like a complete tutorial on how to use it. And it's just like, why have these two people not talked to each other and like vice versa improved their documentation? Just very confusing. Like, here's an example. So here's data row, which is amazing. Data row is amazing, but that particular link there tells you nothing about it. There's literally nothing about it. But you go to this other page, and it's like amazing. Like data test row is like data row is amazing. It's really cool. But like one page has literally nothing and the other page has everything, and it's just like, what? Like, why can't the reference like go back to the is the C++ version? I change it to C#. Yeah, C#, there you go. Yeah, you just change it to C# on the right there. It's the same thing. It's got no documentation. I'm like, this is, like, it's an amazing feature, but, like, you just can't find it. So, yeah, I get having 200 tabs open for the C# documentation. Let me double-check if I missed any questions. I haven't missed any questions, and we are at 32 past. No one is typing, so we'll go ahead and we will leave off there. I've got to open my window, turn on my AC, get into Neos, and do some work. Oh, actually, you have a question. I'm sorry. It was sandwiched between my links, and I didn't notice it. I'll get to it. 1 second. Is there any way to view the amount of queued packets while you're connected to the relay? That should be the same as the queued packets that when you're not connected to the relay. Is there a difference? Oh yeah, we had that question too. I'm really bad at this, sorry. Fortunately, it's always zero when connected to the relay. Sounds like a perfect GitHub thing. I'm sure we can like provide it, just like, I don't know, some of the relay signaling needs to be changed or whatever. Modern asks how much RAM I've got. I don't actually remember. This computer's, it's not old, but like it's like a Franken computer, and that's not how you get to RAM. You know, properties. There we go. Yeah, 32 gigs of RAM. Oh, which reminds me, and you have to be very careful doing this, but make sure they are on the last available version of Windows 10. I know people don't like Windows 11, but make sure on the last available version of Windows 10, 21H2. It's got some good stuff. Make sure on 21H2. But be careful doing that, because they'll be like, you're ready for Windows 11. And if you click the wrong buttons, you'll just like restart your computer and you'll be on Windows 11 and your taskbar will be in the center of the screen for some god awful reason. You just like, Lex, did you just like edit your computer so it's in some way so like Windows 11 is not compatible? I think I turned off TPM as well. I don't remember why, but I did. I still got to, like, re-BitLock on my drives. I haven't done that. Like, it's weird, like, I do care about security, but, like, getting in my apartment is much more harder than, you know, accessing my BitLocker drives. Yeah, I sometimes consider Linux, and then I just think, like, everything would be more difficult. Like, I could do it, it just would be more difficult. I consider, like, oh, I'm going to start my computer up and play this cool game. It'd be like, oh, I'm going to start my computer up and then reinstall NVIDIA drivers again. You know, it's never fun. Anyway, we are at 36 past, so I'm going to go ahead and leave off here. I will speak to you guys next week. If you have any questions, drop them in questions and help. And for everything else, I don't know, think about cheese and take a look at the wiki or questions and help. I will speak to you soon.